Hello, everyone, and welcome to the ACTUS podcast, a bi-weekly program dedicated to bringing you closer to the difference makers in CDI and sharing the latest news relevant to the CDI profession and ACTUS. I'm Linnea Archibald, the Associate Editorial Director for ACTUS, and I will be your host for today's show. Today's topic is KPIs and analytics, and we are bringing you a special excerpt from the October 2025 ACTUS CDI Leadership Council call on that topic. My guests on that council call, and therefore on this week's episode, are Danita Boone, RN, BSN, CCDS, who's the Associate Director of CDI at Emory Healthcare in Atlanta, Georgia, and Lisa Fuller, BSN, RN, CCDS, who's the System CDI Data Analyst at Baptist Health System in Louisville, Kentucky. Both Danita and Lisa are current members of the ACTUS CDI Leadership Council for the 2025 to 2026 term. A quick reminder that the ACTUS podcast offers 0.5 ACTUS CEU for the first 4 days after posting, which can be used toward your CCDS or CCDSO recertification requirements. I'll share the instructions at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. And now, before we jump into our topic, a brief word about today's sponsor. Today's show is brought to you by ACTUS Pro. ACTUS Pro delivers all the decision-making information necessary to conduct record reviews in an easy-to-reference online tool. CDI specialists rely on ACTUS Pro as their go-to resource for trusted clinical indicators for compliant and effective physician queries. Users can quickly look up the latest clinical definitions, diagnostic criteria, treatment protocols, coding considerations, sample queries, and critical thinking tips for over 90 clinical conditions, search and sort, take notes, bookmark tips, and set reminders within your own customizable user interface, and benefit from regular automated updates to query, coding, and documentation changes as they happen, so your reference is never out of date. Plus, ACTUS Pro provides the information CDI specialists need to understand which codes trigger a patient safety indicator in the Patient Safety and Adverse Events Composite, aka PSI 90, and which exclude the patient encounter from reporting. Learn more about CDI's trusted platform to navigate medical record reviews by following the link in today's show notes. And now back to the show.
So to kick off our conversation, there are about a million different metrics a CDI leader could track, but not all of them will be equally helpful to paint the picture of your CDI department's performance. And according to the CDI Week industry survey a few years ago, CDI departments were tracking a whole host of metrics, but they were placing the different levels of importance on those metrics. So for example, according to that survey, chart reviews per day, query response rate, query rate, CCM, CC capture rate, and SOI ROM scores all rated highly as important metrics. And on the flip side, things like readmission rates, CDI coding DRG mismatches, and HCC capture rate were monitored, but not necessarily seen as important metrics for the CDI department. So Danita, I'd like to start with you to kick us off. First of all, what metrics are you tracking for your department? How did you determine that those were kind of the valuable things to monitor? And secondly, how do you weight those metrics, so to speak, to prioritize what's important for your department and the organization as a whole?
Here at Emory Healthcare, we track metrics such as query response rate, query agree rate, CCM, CC capture, financial impact, for example, per review or per queried visit. We look at things such as CDI identified opportunity, or better known as like the overall financial query impact, what changes we made on the CMI. SOI and ROM changes. And then a new initiative is our risk variable query percentage. I will say, although financial impact and CMI impact is always important, especially when reporting our department impact, Emory has had a heavy focus on risk adjustment variables as of late and how we compare to our other leading healthcare systems, that greatly impacts our patients' length of stay and mortality reflection. This has led to our CDI department to focus on those risk adjustment variables, and just, seeing how we are impacting that on a query focus. So I would say that is a huge focus for us. If that sheds some light there.
Awesome. Thank you, Danita. And Lisa, do you want to add anything to that from your perspective?
Sure. We also track, in addition to the query rate and the response rate, we drill down a little bit into the provider specific response, agree, disagree, unable to determine, and no response rates, as well as the query turnaround time. And we also track the utilization of volume of our query templates to determine if there are any opportunities for focused physician education. And we also track the quality volume of performed quality reviews for our in-house mortalities and PSIs.
So thank you. So given all of the possible things that you could monitor and that you are monitoring, listening to both of you talk through that, data analytics could be a leader's full-time job. And because of this, some organizations have created data analyst roles to handle all that information. And according to our preliminary CDI salary survey results for this year, just under 10% of our respondents have a CDI informaticist or analyst role within their department. So, Lisa, as an analyst yourself, can you share a bit about what your role entails and how it intersects with other leadership titles in your organization?
Sure. Well, this is a relatively new position for our organization and continues to evolve based on our overall goals and needs. Currently, I'm responsible for CDI query reconciliation accuracy, compiling and generating those key performance metrics for entities such as physicians, our CDI team, our quality initiatives, and facility leadership. And I do participate with multidisciplinary teams to identify process improvement opportunities for quality metrics and also provide data analysis to our auditor educators and CDI leadership that is utilized to monitor ongoing team performance and identify areas of educational opportunity, such as workflow efficiencies, tool utilization optimization, and compliant CDI practice.
Awesome. Thank you. And Danita, does your department have an analyst currently, or are you handling all of that data yourself as the leader?
As of recent, we newly now have a data analyst through a vendor, which has been exciting, and it's been nice to meet and walk through how we can like automate a lot of things that were manual before. And I'm blown away at what a data analyst can do. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear more about that as you get further along in that journey. I've heard a few people who use a vendor analyst as well. Let's talk a little bit about technology and metrics. So, metrics intersect with technology use on kind of two main levels. First, you have to use technology of some sort to collect, catalog, analyze your data. So that could be a manual spreadsheet, vendor developed dashboards, homegrown solutions. Leaders are typically making do with whatever tools they have at their disposal to track and trend their metrics. So, Lisa, I'll start with you on this one. What systems or solutions do you use for tracking KPI data? For example, software solution versus a manual spreadsheet. And then do you use these same systems to export your reports and present that data to stakeholders?
Well, some of the limitations in the vendor software data analyst platform creates kind of a little issue. So we do use a combination of both. We use the vendor platform as well as manual spreadsheets to track and trend additional metrics that we're emphasizing in our organization, such as workflow process, tool utilization, of course, DRG optimization, compliance, and those quality measures. And on a quarterly basis, we present system and facility KPI, quality review impacts for mortalities and PSIs, top five queries sent to our providers, top five physician by query volume, top three physicians by unable to determine responses, and top five physician query templates to our facility stakeholders.
Thank you. So, of course, we also know that even if the technology isn't in use to collect and analyze that data, the solutions a CDI team uses will have an impact on their performance. Sometimes that's positive, other times less so. And according to our 2025 CDI Week industry survey, electronic groupers, electronic queries, computer-assisted coding, chart prioritization, and natural language processing solutions all had relatively good impacts on performance. On an earlier survey, so looking back to the 2023 CDI Week survey, however, respondents also expressed some specific negative impacts, such as decreasing the need for critical thinking skills among CDI specialists, increased scrutiny from organizational leadership due to the cost of software solutions, and the perception that technology may be a way to replace CDI staff members' jobs. So, whether for good or ill, it's clear that technology use as well as CDI responsibilities are both going to have a big impact on metric performance. So, Danita, as your program expands to new responsibility or your organization introduces new technology solutions, things like artificial intelligence, prioritization, all that good stuff, how do you factor those elements into your metrics?
Sure. We've actually been able to positively benefit from the use of technology solutions. And kind of as mentioned here, for example, prioritization, it honestly allows us to focus most of our time on the cases with opportunity, things such as like auto-suggested coding or potential query opportunities. It gives us the ability to review those findings that were picked up from the technology to query or to code if we review and agree and it is sound information. But this by no means has taken over the role of the expert CDI specialist, but merely aids our work. We've seen this positively impact our metrics. So whether it's, financial impact or CC, MCC capture, if anything, it's increased our ability in all of those areas while we still pride our expert CDI specialists. You will never be able to replace the brain and expertise of our clinical and coding staff.
Absolutely. It's the that human element is still vitally important, even if you've got very fancy tools. Lisa, do you want to add anything before we move on?
Yeah, I would just say that the AI and prioritization capabilities have allowed us to sustain our return on investment despite loss of FTE positions due to budgetary constraints. Additionally, it helps us to identify cases that are most likely associated with quality cohorts for query opportunities. So we do prioritize those quality CMS cohorts. And they also help give us the most opportunities for provider education. So it has allowed our team to evolve from, DRG optimization focus to a more quality focus review as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. And something that 2023 survey that I referenced touches on is, yes, the negative impacts of technology, but also things like it freed up our time by taking care of some of those kind of low-hanging fruit opportunities so that we could dig into things like quality and further provider education and all of that stuff. So it's definitely there's good and bad to both. As you all well know, metrics can also show where you're at with provider engagement and education efforts. And in our most recent CDI Week industry survey, respondents reported that they look at improvement in CDI metrics, such as query response rate, specifically to measure provider education efficacy, as well as other factors such as feedback directly from the providers. So, Lisa and Danita, as we close out, how do you leverage your metrics for provider education? Do you use trends broadly to shape your group education or leverage it for more one-on-one opportunities? Lisa, why don't you start? And then Danita, you can jump in and share as well.
So we send monthly CDI query audit reports to providers for their KPI metrics, and we meet with facilities. We also give them their top five queries. Our regional managers follow up with specific leaders within each facility to disseminate additional provider education in their preferred formats, such as a tip sheet, hosting a virtual webinar, or an on-site education. And then we can further drill down any educational needs for the provider and provide that one-on-one meeting at their preferred date and time to help them a little bit more in those areas. And we continue to see physician engagement, with this process.
Awesome. And Danita, how about you?
Yeah, that's wonderful, Lisa. Just to add on my end, we've had opportunities to promote CMI, or excuse me, CDI for like new providers, and just, in provider huddles and things of that nature. However, I must say we have had great success with the partnership of our CDI medical directors. These are medical direct or physicians who have had CDI training, and they help just with that peer-to-peer conversation, education. Our associate directors, we're able to pull data for provider specialties, individual providers, and have that ready for our CDI medical directors to communicate and have actual, like sometimes one-on-one meetings with providers, showing them actual data. Something else that we're launching soon is provider scorecards. And that is, we've heard from the CDI medical directors that providers are so busy and they might listen to you as far as CDI, but then when they see it actually on a scorecard, that's when they really pay attention. And just to show them, like, hey, this is where your turnaround time is. This is, your response rate. And we would like to see you here. What questions do you have? But actually having it on paper for the provider will just boost engagement for us. So that's just some of the things that we've done to promote CDI, to provide education and just tangible data.
Thank you again to both Danita and Lisa for being on that council call last month and also for sharing your expertise on this topic with the broader ACTUS podcast community. If our audience has any questions about this topic, you can feel free to email the ACTUS team at info@actus.org. Now it is time for the ACTUS update, which is our regular segment featuring the latest news on what's going on inside the association. First, I want to remind ACTUS members that our final quarterly member call of the year will be tomorrow, November 20th at 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow's call will feature a panel discussion on encephalopathy and delirium with members of our ACTUS and HC Pro CDI education team. You really don't want to miss this discussion. And of course, ACTUS members can claim one ACTUS CEU for attending that call. Secondly, I want to remind everyone that the deadline for the ACTUS scholarship application is just around the corner on November 23rd. We've gone into more depth about these awards on previous episodes, so I won't belabor it here. But if you are looking to further your education through ACTUS membership, a boot camp, or one of our in-person 2026 events, but you need some support to do so, we really do hope that you'll consider applying for one of those 2026 scholarships. Thirdly, remember the deadline of December 1st, because there are two things happening that day that I'm going to tell you about. First, that is your last chance to submit an article for the January-February edition of the CDI Journal, which will be focused on provider engagement and interdepartmental collaboration. So if you have expertise to share on that topic, please go ahead and submit your article now. Remember that accepted articles also do earn CEUs at the rate of 0.5 CEU per 350 published words. The second reason you should remember that date is that the applications for our 2026 ACTIS Physician Advisor Mastermind Group will close on December 1st. To help create connections among physician advisors, ACTIS brings together a small cohort dedicated to brainstorming ideas and solving challenges every year. This group meets virtually every other month to discuss issues that are relevant to physician advisors. In each meeting, two members take their turn sitting in what we call the hot seat, which means they get to present a challenge or a question to the group and solicit feedback. This allows members of the group to problem solve in real time and gain valuable perspective from their peers. There's no fee to join this group. Instead, members are selected based on their commitment to participate in regular meetings, share and receive advice generously, and make meaningful progress in their career. If that sounds like something you're interested in, make sure to apply now or share that application link with your department's advisor if you think that this group might be beneficial to them. My final update today is that ACTIS is joining forces with our sister brand, Just Coding, to present a one-day virtual seminar on Wednesday, December 10th from 12 to 3:20 p.m. Eastern. The ACTIS and Just Coding virtual seminar will offer 3 hours of CDI and coding education presented by industry experts, including deep dives into encephalopathy, acute respiratory failure, acute kidney injury, and sepsis. The speakers will unpack the diagnostic criteria and treatment protocols, identifying key clinical indicators and potential query opportunities. And attendees will also learn the nuances of coding these diagnoses and how documentation directly impacts coding. Through case studies and real-world examples, the speakers will provide guidance for ensuring accurate and compliant documentation and coding. Plus, the event will offer ACTIS, AHIMA, AAPC, and ANCC continuing education credits for attendees. You can register for that virtual seminar and find information about all my other updates today by following the links in today's show notes. As a reminder, before we close out today, each ACTIS podcast episode offers 0.5 ACTIS CEU, which can be used toward recertifying your CCDS or your CCDSO credential for those of you who listen to the show in the first 4 days from the time of posting. To receive your 0.5 ACTIS CEU, go to the show page on ACTIS.org by clicking on the ACTIS podcast link under the free resources tab and then clicking on today's episode from the list on that page. Then scroll down to the recording of today's episode and click play. At the end of the video, all the way at the end when the timer gets to zero, a link to the CEU evaluation will appear. Simply click on that, take the survey, and your certificate will be automatically emailed to you upon submitting that brief evaluation. Those instructions are also laid out on the show page, so you can follow along there as well. And to ensure that your certificate actually reaches you and doesn't get trapped in your spam filters, we do suggest that you use a personal email address when completing that CEU evaluation form. The cutoff for today's episode CEU is Sunday, November 23rd at 11 p.m. Eastern. After that point, the CEU period will close and you will no longer be eligible for those 0.5 CEU for this week's episode. With that, we have reached the end of today's ACTIS podcast episode. We will be back in 2 weeks on Wednesday, December 3rd with a new episode hosted by ACTIS Editorial Manager of Product and Events, Carla Kozak. If you would like to receive reminders about each episode, make sure you're subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, CDI Strategies, which always includes a link to the new episode when it's available. You can listen to the show anytime on the ACTIS website or via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. All of the links that we discussed today will be available in the show notes. And as always, we'd really appreciate it if you would take a minute and leave us a 5-star review on your podcast app to help others find our show. Our intro and outro music is Media Noche by Dion Key, and our ad music is Take Me Higher by Jazar, both obtained from the Free Music Archive. If you have any suggestions for future guests or topics, please email us at info@actus.org. And until next time, take care, everyone.